I was in the teller in the bank, Marsteller. That's how I remembered it. My wife's maiden name was Hudspeth, and she took my name because I couldn't spend 20 years learning another one. So that's the way it is. And we are with Child Evangelism Fellowship here in the area. We've been here just a little over a year as director. Before that, we had been involved in Child Evangelism Fellowship in a totally different direction. Except for the time my parents were interim directors in Florida, the connection we had with Child Evangelism Fellowship way back, I remember my mother had Good News Clubs when I was in high school. After that, in our churches, I'm an ordained minister, pastored several churches from Pennsylvania to Indiana and Florida. And in our churches, we would use the curriculum, the materials, and the program that Child Evangelism had then in a lot of ways. We would use it for our summer vacation Bible school. We would use it for our Wednesday night children's program. We would use it for Sunday morning. We would use it for junior church programs and many others. And especially we would use it for outreach. And Pastor mentioned the clubs in your neighborhood. And we'll get back to that a little bit more. But as an ordained minister, as a pastor, senior pastor most recently in Hammond, Indiana, we use Child Evangelism. People ask me, well, how did you get into Child Evangelism out here? We came out here actually to start a new church in the East Valley. And there are several new ones out there starting up and some good ones. But along the way, we were starting at a Bible study group and looking for a place to have some Sunday meetings, which are very scarce. All the new churches starting in the East Valley had all the schools tied up and so on. I took my car through the car wash one day, July a year ago, and while I was waiting for them to wash it, I looked across in the field, and there was a big, huge transit bus with a sign, drivers needed. Gilbert School District will train. I used to drive school bus. I had a church when five of the bus drivers of our area on the mountain in Pennsylvania were all in my church. All the bus drivers were my deacons and so on. I drove to help them out. I drove in Florida, and I drove in Indiana. Again, a deacon there, they contract their own buses. They own their own buses, and they contract the routes. And he was a farmer, and he asked me to fill in. Anyway, I had done this in the past, and I thought, well, now, today you can't do this with a chauffeur's license. You have to have a commercial driver's license. And that takes some training and some testing and some endorsements and so on. And I thought, that's a way to get my CDL. And so I talked to the guys down at transportation, and they said, oh, we desperately need drivers. We'll take anyone who can see over the windshield, you know, and this practically. And so I did this and drove school bus. Substitute, of course, to start with, and they gave me a couple routes here and there. Now, I was a senior pastor. I'd been pastoring for years. I was Youth for Christ director a long time ago. And I had been around, I had raised three children. I figured I was plugged in. I just come out of a pastor. We had a lot of inner city children in our program. I thought I knew where they were coming from. I have news. 3 days driving school bus, you get an education. I had a fifth grader stand up in the back of the bus and call me things that I had not heard before. Now, that's pretty tough because I worked highway construction, I worked in factory, and there's some pretty rough crowds and some pretty rough language. And he had a couple new ones. I took a route, and it was close to where we live. In fact, I can, from the front of my house, I can see the park across Cooper Road where I let the group off. I had made two or three stops. A couple got off. A couple got up here. About a dozen got off. I had 48 children left on my school bus from elementary school, Islands Elementary. I pulled up to the park where the map said stop. I opened the door. 48 children got out and went everywhere in that neighborhood. And I thought, bingo. We are wanting to start something here in East Valley, and the place to start is with the children. These kids, in 3 days of driving school buses this much, I knew without a doubt that they were in trouble. They needed help. And the help they needed was the Lord Jesus. I said, I know what we need to do. I went home. I was excited. I said to my wife, Barbie, hey, I know what we're going to do. I've seen it. we need to start with the kids. And I know where I can get the help. I know where I can get the material. I can get the helpers that we need and all of that. And I got on the phone and I called Child Evangelism Fellowship up here on 43rd and Northern, or just above Northern. And I just laid this all out. I mean, I was excited. After a while, I stopped to take a breath. And the lady on the other end of the phone said, George, I'm really sorry. We don't have anybody that can help you. And I didn't think I heard her right. And I started again. She said, George, we don't have anybody that can help you out in the East Valley out there. I said, oh. She said, we don't even have a director. And again, I said, oh, okay. And I hung up. I mean, I still was not believing this. I guess it hadn't sunk in yet. About 2 weeks went by, and I said, I have to call back. I don't think I heard right. You see, finally it sunk into me. She said, we don't have a director. Now, I figured they would be lined from here to Albuquerque to be director of Child Evangelism Fellowship in Phoenix. I called back, and I said, did you tell me right? And I know now it was Jody. And she said, that's right, George. We don't have anybody, very few that can help anywhere in the valley. We don't have a director. We haven't had a director for 3.5 years. And I was crushed because I knew there were thousands of kids just like the ones I hauled home from school. Since that, I realized that there are approximately 75,000 to 76,000 elementary students in the East Valley alone. Now, I say that because we had statistics of 100 and some thousand students. So you divide that about in half for elementary, so you come up with around 75, 6,000. I don't know if that counts homeschoolers and church schools or not. All I know is from those figures, there's a bunch of kids out there that need to know, hear the Lord of the Lord. So anyway, we were discussing this, and I mean, it broke my heart. And so that was in September. And between then and February, the state director, we had coffee several times. We had breakfast a few times. The local committee chairman and his wife had, my wife and I, for dinner a few times. And the 1st of February, Billy said to me, well, he and the state director were really going to get serious about a director about 6 months. They had some other things they wanted to get accomplished. In about 6 months, they were going to get serious about getting a director. And I looked at him and I said, Billy, you don't have 6 months. He said, do you have any ideas? Now, I have this habit of talking when I should be listening. So I said, yes, I have a couple that have come to mind over research of the valley and the people and the possibilities and what had been done and what could be done. And so I gave him 5 or 6 ideas that I had. That was on a Friday night. The next Monday night at 10:30, he called me and said, we just finished our meeting. We have a proposal in the mail for you. Here's the highlights. And the bottom line was they wanted to know if I would accept the director position for Child Evangelism Fellowship. And consequently, I did, as you know now. So anyway, this is how we got involved here in the valley. But child evangelism is not a new thing, and many of you have been through it maybe a long time ago. But today, child evangelism is operating with children's programs in 143 countries around the world. Last fall, in August, it was 136. Already, it's gone to 143. We have the largest group of volunteer people involved in the program of any organization in the world. We have many. Every state in the United States has a state organization, and under that state organization come the local chapters or the local organizations. And a lot of sometimes folks don't understand the organization. And here in the valley, we have not had a vision or an entity of the local group. Almost entirely, it has been run through the state organization, which isn't all bad. But now that we have a local entity and the state is operating separate from us, folks are finding out that there are two different levels, and that's the way it works. The state organization is over the state of Arizona, and their job is to develop the work throughout the state of Arizona. Now, Jerry has kind of forgotten us, so to speak, because there's somebody here, and the work is going here. He's concentrating on Kingman and Yuma and other parts of the state along with it. But that's the organization. We have the local chapter is under the state. The states have a regional organization over. Well, then we have the United States organization and then the international. And each one of these has a board. There's an international board, a national board, a regional group, and a state board, plus our local committee. That's generally the makeup of Child Evangelism Fellowship. It's the largest organization and about the only organization that is really concentrating on children, evangelization of children. There are some concepts out here that I didn't realize until I studied it and I made a paper. And if you get into the seminars that we now have, the first session, the first hour, we will develop the defense of evangelizing children. Why we should do this and how we should do this, but particularly why. Let me give you a couple quick ideas. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were told to write the statutes or the laws of God and the truths that God had given them, to write them all over on their foreheads, all over the place, on the doorposts. They were to write these out and they were to pass them on to their children, then their children's children, so that they could pass them on to their children and right on down the line. The emphasis was on passing God's statutes and His laws to the children when they were children. In the New Testament, Jesus was in a situation. One time the disciples tried to keep the children away from Him, and He said, hey, don't send them off. Bid them to come to Me. And don't forbid them. He, on occasion or two, took one of them up in His arms, set it on His lap. Now, there are those who think that may not be children, but it had to be a rather small one if you put them on His lap in first place. And the second thing, if you get into the Greek, the paideon means a small child. And Jesus said, these paideons, this is the kingdom of heaven. Of such is the kingdom of heaven. And He said, don't forbid them and do not offend them. And I ask a question, which I often do, and maybe I shouldn't ask questions like this, but we were in discussion on this offending the children. And I said, there are different ways you can offend them, and most of us would never dream of offending a child. But I said, what if we fail to tell them about Jesus when they're a child? Is that not an offense? They need to hear. Specifically, because 85%... Let me stop. Let me back up a second. How many of you tonight came to know the Lord before you were 14? That's about the average reaction I get. Just about half. 85% statistics tell us of those who accept Christ, who come to know the Lord, do so before 14. From 4 to 14 years of age. 85%. The concepts out here say that we should give them Bible stories, you know, and massage them spiritually, I guess you could say, until they're 13, 14, 15, until they can understand the symbolism. Well, if you know the children, the young people of today, I think you'll agree with me. If we just sort of babysit them until they're 14, 15, 13, and they understand symbolism, the symbols, you know, and all this of the faith and so on, the symbols they're going to understand by that time are gang symbols, not spiritual ones at that point, if we let them go that long. And there's some other things. We'll get into more of this. But these are some of the reasons. Because the Old Testament specifically says to teach the children, reach the children. Jesus Himself took a young child and said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And there are statistics and there are instances that back up the fact that a child as young as 3-4 years of age can understand what it is to be a sinner and what it is to have Christ die for them and how to accept that and how to begin to grow as a child. I could go for a week with one illustration after another of young people, children in these ages that have accepted the Lord and what they're doing today. Our best leaders are the deepest spiritual leaders we have and have had came to know the Lord 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years of age. I don't know. I don't know how much you follow Mr. Dobson, but he was 3, and there are others. along the road of evangelists and teachers and this that we have today in our country, and those that have gone beyond before, that were young children when they came to the Lord. So it's important. I think, well, 1 Corinthians, for instance, in chapter 1, I think we have a connection here. Paul is talking, and he gives a mandate and a message and a method. And our message never changes. And the message that basically Child Evangelist Fellowship uses is through like the wordless book. God is love, and He is. And He is holy, and He is just, and He is omnipotent, and all this. God is holy, and He's creator. But there's one thing that cannot be where God is, and people are trying to get to heaven. Everybody wants to end up there. And ironically, some of them think that it doesn't matter really how you get there. You know, all roads lead there, and that's not quite right. Not quite. God is there, and God is in heaven, and God is the creator. But one thing that cannot be there is sin. But according to Romans, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born with a want to do wrong. And because of that, we're separated. But God had a great plan. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to willingly give His lifeblood, shed on the cross of Calvary, was buried, rose the third day, ascended to the right hand of God the Father. Why? So that we might ask forgiveness and that separation be taken care of. We can become His child because of His great plan and because of Christ's willingness to do this. And when that happens, we can ask forgiveness, and when we receive that, we become God's child, and then He wants us to grow. He wants us to read His Bible. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants to talk to us. He wants us to share Him with other people. That's basically what we talk about. And young children can do this. One illustration. Well, maybe a couple. A 6-year-old girl in Good News Club one day, and she'd been there about 3 weeks. And the third week, she stayed and went back by the table as she was instructed, if she wanted to ask Jesus to forgive her and come into her heart and to become a child of God. And so she went back by the table with a couple of others, and one of the leaders helped her to pray and ask forgiveness and went through the counseling that we teach to do. And she was excited. She came up to the teacher, and boy, she bubbled over. Oh, I accepted the Lord. I asked forgiveness. And she really knew what she was talking about. And she went home. And that night at dinner, she asked if she could pray. Never had happened before in that home. And Sunday, she wanted to go to church, Sunday school. And she kept bugging him. Pray every meal. Pray before she went to bed. Go to church and Sunday school on Sunday. And a couple of weeks of this, and her father said, look, enough. I don't want you to pray anymore. I don't want you to ask about going to church and Sunday school or asking us to go with you. And you're not going back to that Bible club thing again. And I don't want to hear any more of it. And she didn't. She never asked to pray at the table and didn't pray at the table. She didn't ask to go to church and Sunday school again. Didn't ask to go to Good News Club. Exactly what her father told her to do, she did it. This went on for about 6 months. Not one word out of her. After about 6 months, her father looked up the Good News Club teacher. He said, I don't know what she got at Good News Club, but she never listened to me like that in her life before. In 6 years, she had never listened to me like that. She has listened to me exactly as I said. She has something. She got something here. What is it? And because she deliberately and completely obeyed her father, his every word, he knew something had changed. He wanted what that was. And she, because of that, the whole family came to know the Lord. I had another little 6-year-old girl over here in Mesa. Well, she wasn't six. She was probably 4.5 to 5. And as the custom is, when a child prays to receive Christ, we have them tell somebody else right away, and maybe 2 or 3 if there's somebody else around. Well, I was in charge of the counseling at this, and this little gal come bubbling, bouncing up to me, and the one who prayed with her and counseled with her said, you go tell Mr. George there what happened. Well, usually we ask questions. This little gal came up, and I didn't get a chance to ask questions. Boy, she went right through, you know, the thing, what happened, what she did, why, and so forth, and she had it down. And when she finished and took a breath, it was somebody else, oh, I'll tell him. And she ran over and did it again. This little gal, 4.5 to 5 years old, knew exactly the plan of salvation. Why, how, when, who. If you said, whose child are you? She'd say, I'm God's child. You'd have to ask her. She'd tell you. But this is why children can do this. And so that's why I am involved in child evangelism fellowship, because children can be reached. And if we do not reach them when they're children, junior high school age, it gets very tough. They have so much garbage now that they don't want to listen. And high school and on up, the percentages drop almost to nothing. So this is why child evangelism fellowship. Our message never changes. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, preach the gospel. The gospel is that God is holy, God is creator. We are sinners. We cannot have fellowship. Christ died. We can ask forgiveness, and the fellowship is restored. It's the simple plan of salvation. That never changes. But the methods can. Some of the methods we use in child evangelism, and many of you may know this, our main thing is the Good News Club. We have some brochures over here. If you'd like to take along some of those, you can. There's some statistics and some things on the big whiteboard there, and so forth. But the Good News Club is the main thrust, and that's what started. Mr. O, a number of years ago, we're 60th anniversary this year as far as official organization. But beyond that, before that, he started this and working with children. That was the main thrust. What this simply is this. In the homes in the neighborhood. Now, 60 years ago, this was a great method to reach individuals. Today, it's even greater. Many of you have probably visited. I know the pastor has. I know I have. We have gone into the neighborhoods, and we have asked people, we invited people to come to church, come to special things. You try to get them to evangelistic meetings, revivals, whatever. And more, day by day, they are more hesitant and more negative on doing this and coming in. And I had a visitation program in Hammond, and they thought I was out of my mind. I said, you're going to go out. We're going to go out in the neighborhood. And I don't want any of you to ask anyone in our neighborhoods to do anything for us. Not to come to Sunday school, not to come to church, not to do a thing. I want you to go to their home, and when you get to talk to them, I say, what can we do for you? They did, and it blew some people's minds. We've never had that approach before. Everybody wants us to come, wants us to give, and so on. But never had they been offered to be helped in their problems, in their situations. I said, help them. Offer us to them. Not come and do something for us. Big difference. Neighborhood Bible clubs, Good News clubs. The children and the parents, particularly today, are far more lenient and more apt to let this happen, and they feel so much better when they know the neighbors. And you, if you host a Good News club, the neighborhood children come in, they're not intimidated. The parents are really not worried about where they're going and who they're going to be involved with. And that's a big issue with parents today. Y'all probably know what I'm talking about. You have the same thing. But if a person in the neighborhood, a family neighbor, maybe they play with the children, they understand, they know it's not intimidating to them, they'll come. That is why they get into the hearing of the gospel. Then they hear the evangelistic stories. We don't tell Bible stories. We do evangelistic lessons. We do growth lessons, discipleship lessons. They hear this. They hear about Jesus, how he loved them, how they can have him as their personal Savior. And their children come to know Christ. Then, if you are hosting a Good News club in your neighborhood, the next step is to encourage and get to know the parents. Help the parents understand what the children have done. And maybe you can share the gospel with the parents. But the bottom line is those children in your club that you host or teach are funneled. Once they get to know you, once they want to hear more, they want to get into a Sunday school program, you bring them in here. They become part of your Sunday school class, your youth program. And that's the outreach. And that's what we did. We used the Good News clubs and the summer program as an outreach. We went in neighborhoods where people didn't go to church. But a neighbor hosted a club, got the kids in, the kids heard about Jesus, the kids responded, and sometimes the whole family would end up in the church. Great outreach. That's the one way we try to work with it. We are not a church. We don't want to be a church. we want to assist and help the churches in outreach and reaching children and reaching people. So that's the main one of the main thrusts. The other part of that is a five-day club. Now, when I went to Hammond, I was told that we don't have enough people in the summertime, you know, to do a vacation Bible school. It takes too many people. It takes too much work, effort. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but this is what they told me. I see some smiles. I guess you have. I said, okay, we'll fix that. And I called the local youth, Child Evangelism Fellowship director. And she sent a young gal in. It was dynamite. Rachel was what, 16? She'd been through CYA, which I'll get to in a minute. She had learned how to do the lessons this summer. And for 5 days, just like a vacation Bible school, she told a Bible lesson and a missionary story. And we had some songs that they used. And the kids had a blast. That's how we in our churches used the five-day club as a Bible school program. Now they have Bible school kits, which are based the same way. And you don't have to have a whole lot of people or spend a whole lot of money. You can reproduce most everything you need out of the kit. But that's the five-day club. That's the summer program. It meets 5 days in a row, and then maybe there's another one somewhere. And so within your church, you can have several of these also around the neighborhoods where your people live. It can be hosted. Teachers come in. We're training some young people again this summer, and hopefully some of yours, to do this, to come in and do the Bible lesson and to do the missionary lesson. And we had a club this afternoon, and 2 weeks now, we've started a new missionary story. And at the end of each day, or in this case, each week, we leave the kids hanging. Today, I won't go anyway, but you leave them hanging. They can't wait till the next time to see what happens. And they're all true missionary stories. This one is Thai Pham, and her father's a witch doctor. John Patton is another story we used last summer. So anyway, the five-day club, it's 5 days in a row, 1 hour, 1 hour and 15 minutes a day, and that is an outreach as well, reaching children for the Lord Jesus. Now, we have the children in the Good News Clubs and the five-day clubs, and they get to sixth grade, and they go into seventh grade, and they're gone a lot of times. That's why in Child Evangelism Fellowship, we have developed several other programs beyond this. Now, our main thrust is reaching the children. But once they get into seventh grade, we use a lot of letters in child evangelism, with CEF, TCE, all these kind of things. And one of them is CYIT. That's Christian Youth and Training. It used to be that the junior high kids didn't have a lot until they got to be 14 and a half or so. Then they had the Christian Youth in Action. You cannot give these young folks 2.5 to 3 years hiatus and expect them to be around when they get into senior high, right? So the middle program is what we do in that. We teach them the Wordless Book. You ever seen the Wordless Book? How many have seen the Wordless Book? All right, you're great. The Wordless Book. We teach the younger teens the Wordless Book and how to present that. They can share it with anybody then. They can help teachers in the Sunday school, in your church, to do the same thing. That is their concentration, and then they go and help. The next level is the upper teens, and it's Christian Youth in Action. Now, both of these, it's an 7 to 10 day camp situation in training. If you have some teenagers in that upper bracket, June 8th, they start a training session. About 8 days this year, I believe it is. They go to a camp. They'll be down at Chuka Oaks, down the other side of Tucson, somewhere down in there. For these days, it's a camp setting. They have some intense training during the day and also some great recreation and some fun time. But they're trained how to teach a Bible lesson versus telling a Bible story. How to get in from the story of the Bible story into the teaching about God, about sin, about forgiveness, and this, and work the whole lesson out. This is pretty intense for teenagers, but they love it, and it's great. And they too can come back. They come back this summer, and then they teach the lessons at the five-day clubs. They can also teach the next winter or the next school year in your Good News Clubs. They learn, and they become missionaries, so to speak, themselves. And so that's the teenage level. Now, when they get in the upper teens, college age, and anybody else that wants to, we have some other programs. Overseas Missionary. Summer Overseas Missionary Program. You go to Warrenton, Missouri, for 10 days of intense training. And then last year, Heather Graham went to Bosnia for 6 weeks. Michelle went to Australia for 6 weeks. And they go into these other countries, and they work with children, and they give the gospel lessons, the Bible lessons, for 6 weeks in another country. If you don't want to go clear overseas, you like to stay in the country, we have a program where we have picked, every year we pick certain cities, large cities in the USA. The same kind of a training, but you go into inner city of Philadelphia or Miami or whatever around the United States. It's a 6 week program, and if anybody really wants to see beyond that and actually a little bit of what happens, I have a short video that you could see of some of the testimony of the ones that went last year. But that's, you know, all the way up. But beyond that, Gary wanted me to tell about the seminars in this. So far, we're up through college, and any of those of you that want to get into summer missionary work, what about your Sunday school teachers? I've had people tell me, well, you know, I'd really like to help you out and teach Sunday school class, George, but I don't know how. I've had Sunday school teachers come to me and say, hey, I've got a child over here who wants to accept the Lord. What do I do? They panic, you know, because I want to take Jesus into my heart. And they come running for the pastor or someone they know that can do this. And I'm glad the pastor mentioned parents, because our super seminar is to help teachers brush up, teachers, you know, be molded into a great presenter of Bible lessons, but also for mom and dad to teach their own children, to help with their own children. I've had many parents whose children had heard a Bible story, wanted to accept the Lord. They didn't know how to talk to their own children. That's kind of sad, really, but many of us don't unless we're told how. And so in our seminars, we do things like that. Of course, we have the basis for evangelizing children, but 1, 2, 3, Jesus Loves Me is lesson 2. And that's basically the word of this book, the gospel story, how to present it to them, you know, in a simple manner. And there are ways to do this. And some, I don't really like to use the word tricks. I don't mean to trick them, but there are things that you can do that makes it so much simpler for the children to understand and for us as well. So, 1, 2, 3, Jesus Loves Me. That's the gospel story. How to give an invitation. In your Sunday school class, I'm not going to have you raise your hands, but if you're a Sunday school teacher, how many times have you given an invitation to the children in your Sunday school class? Or even your adults, if you're an adult teacher. I ask this all the time. And I very seldom find it many that do. They have taught a class. One lady I know of taught a Sunday school class for 35 years, didn't need any training. I've been at it 35 years. I've got all the answers. I said, how many times do you ever give a children in your class in 35 years an invitation? Oh, I don't give a children an invitation. They know what I'm talking about. Wrong. So how to do an invitation? How to counsel with the children. When a child comes to receive, what do you do? What are some simple methods that they understand and can understand exactly what they're doing when they come to accept Christ as their Savior? Managing your class. Are there any teachers here? Any teachers? Okay. Do you ever have any discipline problems? Well, one of the sessions, we deal with managing your classroom and some things that can be done. And you're going to be shocked. When you go through it, you're going to be shocked to find out the biggest thing you can do. But anyway, managing your classroom. How to teach consecration. The children to consecrate themselves to God, to the Lord Jesus. How to do a song. I suppose many people would say, well, what do you mean, how to do a song? How to teach them a song? You have the words, you have the music, you teach them the words, they sing it, right? Wrong. There's a special method in teaching a song to anybody, really, especially to children. There's a special method of teaching Bible verses. We were somewhere not too long ago, and they had a group of children. It was a Sunday evening service, and the children quoted about 4 or 5 memory verses, and they sang about 6 or 7 songs. And having gone through this as a student, and then having taught the seminar a number of occasions, I had one question that went through my mind. I wonder if these young people singing this song know how that song applies to them. I wonder if they understand the words that they have quoted in this verse, how it applies to their life. You see, many times we teach verses and we teach songs, and it's by rote, and that's it. So you need to change a little bit, and you can learn how, very simply, to make that verse come alive in that child. How to make that song live to that child. And it's very important that this happens. I know an adult congregation sing those good old hymns of the faith, and many people don't really understand what they're singing about, or whatever. So there is a way that we can teach children songs, and we adults love it too when we get to it. But so these are some of the things in the seminar. Gary asked, we had lunch the other day, and Gary asked me a question. Okay, seminar, what do I carry away from the seminar? What do I take home with me? Well, part of the answer was very simple. I said, you take a notebook with two notes in it, and you filled in some blanks. That's the first thing you take away. We have a loose leaf notebook with all your notes in it. But beyond that, I think the people that we have talked to, you take away a new vision of reaching children, evangelizing children, and leading children to Christ. You have new methods, new ways of presenting the gospel, of presenting gospel songs, presenting memory verses, of visualizing. And this is a big thing. I know I heard a comment on the radio of some Christian men were talking, and they talk to people, they're counseling and that. And they sort of put down flannel graph as old-fashioned. Oh, I meant way back when I was a kid. Let me clue you in. These kids today go nuts over flannel graph. If you haven't tried it, if you have, you know what I'm talking about. It's something new to them. I mean, I grew up with flannel graph. But it's so sharp anymore, and the colors are so vivid. But these kids have had so much television and all of this. Flannel graph is a breath of fresh air, you know? And the flashcard lessons that we use with the pictures that describe what we're talking about. And let's face it, some of you, and I had someone the other day tell me, they remembered, and let's face it, a number of years ago, Child Evangelism Fellowship was a group of older ladies, and I respect them, but older ladies talking to kids. And they're right. There was a period of time that was about it. But I have spent 7 weeks in the last year in Warrenton, our home office, in seminars and training classes. And out of 28, in the first time I was there, 28 students, I could have been the father, at least, of most of them, and probably the grandfather of one other one. Younger individuals are seeing the ministry of evangelizing children. Just with the super seminar, you can have a totally different outlook and approach and results with your teaching. You who are not teachers, maybe you're not teaching because you really don't know how and you don't want to try it. You're probably like I am. I don't want to try something new if I don't really know what I'm doing, because I don't want to fool myself. That's my way, you know. And you know, we don't want to mess up. We don't want to make mistakes. Well, if I never did anything because I didn't want to make a mistake, I would do nothing, because I do make mistakes. And that's all right, we learn. If we learn from that, it's okay. But if you're not teaching a Sunday school class, a super seminar or some training will make it all possible. So you can take this away from the seminar with you. Young people, the older young teens can get involved in this, and they can be your new crop of Sunday school teachers. They can be your assistants. I have this philosophy. As senior pastor, I wanted somebody at my elbow that I could teach and train to take my job. Here at Valley of the Sun, I have been director a little over a year, 13 months. But as soon as he gets back from CMI this summer in training, 5 weeks of training in Warrenton, Missouri, I will have an associate who will be working in the Phoenix area in the club work. But the minute he hits the ground here from CMI, I will start to train him and to groom him to take my job as director. Maybe it won't be here. Ultimately, it'll be maybe somewhere else, but I'm going to start training him and grooming him to take my job right here in the valley. a teacher, we're short of teachers, are we not? Because we don't have a farm club of teachers. We have the Diamondbacks in town now, right? They're not going to go very far ever if they don't have a farm club to draw from. And so our teaching staff needs a farm club to draw from. Through seminars, super seminars, through some of these, you can have a dynamite crew of backups and of teachers through this training. There's even more, if you want to really get into this. We have what we call, and again, the letters TCE 1 and 2. It's Teaching Children Effectively. This is a much more intense program. It's a 30-hour course. And if you are teachers, you have a school here, right? Do you, your teachers need to get their continuing education units? Okay. They can get five of them anyway if they have to by taking this 30-hour course. We have two 30-hour courses to take. But this is, I mean, hey, this is intense with practicums, you know, practice sessions, and so on. And CEF International will issue credit. And if you are in a situation where you need the continuing education units in your teaching certificates and that, you can get five credits through our training program. 10 credits, really, five each. So it goes on up. There's so many other things about child evangelism anymore. We have a radio program. I don't know if any of you have heard the short radio program or not, but I have about 4 pages, 8.5 by 11, filled with people in the valley who have called in from that radio program. We have, when a child comes to know the Lord in our club program, if they will allow, and the parents will allow, and most of the time they do, we have what we call a mailbox club. The child receives correspondence, discipleship lessons in the mail. They fill the lesson out, turn it back in, then they get a second one and a third one. And you can go for 10 years, I think. There's a horrendous program, clear into adult level lessons in the mailbox club. We have the Tell a Story, which is a telephone number you call in, you get a short Bible story, and then how to get more information about what you've heard. We have literature department. There's some literature things listed over here. As I said, we have, of course, Bible lessons, flashcard and flannelgraph, Bible lessons. We have mission stories. We have single Bible stories, party club materials. That's another thing we do. That's a once a month or once in a while. And we kind of like to start our club season off with a party club. For instance, this year we had a back-to-school party club. And it was called a Stolen Ice Cream Bar was the lesson. And it was, the lesson originally came out that this young guy, Pete, wanted to start a new club. And he invited Mike and Daniel to be the first two charter members. But to be a member, he had to steal something. And the story goes on. One did and one didn't. Daniel was trying to talk to Mike about how the Lord and how Christ died for him. And that, and he couldn't understand. Anyway, the story unfolds. And finally, Mike understands. And he prays to receive Christ. And we had a back-to-school school bus and review games. It's another thing. You tell a Bible lesson, class is over, the kids go home. Next week, do we ask them what we talked about last week? In the lesson, and in our Bible club, Good News Clubs now, we have a review time. And we have little games to play. And these are other things that you learn in the seminar. The children will remember. Today, in club, I asked a question about last week. And this little gal stood up, and boy, she gave me some details that I'd forgotten. and you know, I helped teach it. They do remember, but you know, but you have to do the review thing to cement that in their memory, and then they bring it'll come back when they need it, and it's a lot of fun, and you know, they have a good time at it, but they do remember, and so on. So we have all of this, all of the literature from junior church kits to Bible Vacation Bible School kits. We have a Children's Ministry Research Bible. And Pastor, I kid you not, I wish that I had had one of these a number of years ago when I started pastoring. Because in that, there's 205 outlines. You have 205 messages right there outlined for you. I mean, good ones, good evangelistic messages. You know, and you put the meat to this and boy, they are dynamite. You know, messages. It'll revolutionize things. I wish I'd have had it. My wife saw it, grabbed onto that thing, and of course, she's the first one she saw was not the hardcover. It was the vinyl cover, the expensive one. That's the one she had to have, because that's the first one she saw. Then I said, well, it's hardcover. Oh, no, I have this one. But there's so much in that. And through this, I say, the seminars, we bring this thing out. But in these resources that we have in our literature, in our department, there are so many aids, so many helps to do this. So we have what we call the TLC, the training through the children, the young people, rather, and the adults, through our seminars, through our TCE. We have a total training program. Literature is the L. All kind of literature. Tracts. There's some displayed over there. You can see that. The best children's tracts I've ever read. And I believed this before I became director, honest. And that's why we used it. Then the clubs. The party clubs, the Good News Club, the 5-day clubs. You also have on there some things that we have, has accomplished. Just to give you an idea, the month of March that I know of, the ones that the teachers reported to me and our own club that we have, 22 children prayed to receive Christ in March. Since August, the middle of August, when our club, or actually first part of September when club season started, we had 78 children in our, and we only have 9 clubs going here in the Valley now. We started with 3, we're up to 9 through the school year. That doesn't sound like a whole lot, but that's about all we want to handle and do a good job at it. Next year, it's going to go a lot bigger than that, a lot more. Not to have a number of clubs, but we can reach more children with more clubs. Some churches are getting involved. Some people in the churches are going to begin to use this as outreach and so on. But that's some of the statistics, just a few of them that have happened. The one I'm really concerned with is the fact that we had 78 children in the last few months pray to receive Christ. That is beginning to reach some children. We could have many, many more if we had many more clubs and had trained people to do these. There's some goals over there as far as club and what we're going to have and so on. In Child Evangelism Fellowship, we have all of this program, and it all sounds great, and it is great. We are all considered missionaries. When I came to Arizona, I had some demographics of Gilbert. And I don't know if you folks know where Gilbert is even, or what about it, but it's down here in the East Valley, probably the fastest growing place in the state of Arizona. A period of time from 92 to 96 or whatever, it grew 410%. Every household has 3.11 children. I don't know where the 1-1 it came in, but anyway. And there's a lot of people down there, and I had all these demographics, and I shared this with folks. I said, where are you going? Well, we're taking on a mission project, and we have 76,000 children in our area. We have so many thousand people. It's growing this fast, and so on. They said, wow, they're getting excited. And they'd say, well, where is it? What country is this? And I said, well, it's Arizona. Oh. See, it wasn't overseas somewhere. And there seems to be some. I'm not against that, folks. The overseas project, I'm in all for it. I have a lot of friends there, and I wanted to go myself. But you see, in people's minds, if it isn't across the water somewhere or across the border, it's not a mission field. Well, if you really stop to think about it, we have at ASU, I believe there's 5,000 international students from all countries in the world, practically all around the world. Now that's a mission field, folks. You reach those people with the gospel, and they go home and spread it. That's the best missionary they can find over there, wherever they're from. They know the language. They know the culture. They don't have all of the problems that we have trying to get there. We reach our children. That's a mission field. If anybody went to a mission field and had 76,000 people to work with, they would be ecstatic. And I'm only talking East Valley. I don't know. Maybe I'm evangelistic in my thinking, but if you take the whole Maricopa County, which we now have, 200,000 children? If there's 76 in East Valley, 150, 200,000, maybe that's light, maybe that's heavy. But there's a bunch of them. And many of them, a large percentage, have no idea what church is like, what Sunday school is. On my school bus, I said, she's talking about Sunday, the day before, it was on a Monday morning. I said, oh, did you go to Sunday school yesterday? Where? She had no idea what, seriously, she had no idea what Sunday school was. She looked at me like, school on Sunday? You're kidding. I go 5 days a week, that's enough. She had had no idea what Sunday school was. And I know I can be very certain by listening to the conversations, by watching them, by observing their attitudes. The majority of those kids on my bus, 66, when I left Islands Elementary, 65, 66 children, there were probably four or five that were plugged into a Sunday school and church. Seriously. And that's what broke my heart when I heard there was nobody to help me. They're here by the millions around the world and thousands around our valley. And we need to reach them. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me. We have a mandate. Bring them to me. We have a message, the gospel. And we have methods that are effective that we can reach them. And they know what they're doing. When it's presented correctly, children can understand what God, who God is, what Jesus did, and why they need to accept him. You want to find out what sin is? Get some elementary children together and ask them. They'll give you a list a mile long in a hurry. Yeah, anything from disobeying mom to slapping my brother and everything else in between. They understand, and they understand that they have a want to do wrong, like all of us. And they will respond in a big time. I don't know if I've covered everything. I probably have taken too much time. But that's basically what our program is. And our seminars, I'm thrilled that we can multiply ourselves through training people to reach children. And let's face it, when you learn how to reach children, I think the scriptures tell us that we all need to become like children to understand, so you can reach anybody. With the methods that work for children, adults can understand it too. That's the great thing about it. Any questions? By the way, this is my wife down here, this young lady sitting here with me, and her name, we call her Barbie, and so on. And my name isn't Ken, it's George. We have two things we have back here. One thing one thing we really like to have, and that's prayer partners. A prayer partner is someone who will pray for us every day if possible, and who will receive a letter from us every so often, monthly or even quarterly, that will give some of the things, answers to your prayers, and a list of things to continue to pray for. We have a sheet there if you would like to be on the prayer partner and help us pray. There's one there. And we have a newsletter. There's a few left over of the newsletters. We do this. We try to do it every month. Sometimes it doesn't get out that often. The copier breaks down or whatever. But we get those out periodically as well. And if you'd like to keep on track of what's happening in child evangelism around the valley, there's also a place there you can put your name and address down. And we'll put you on the mailing list and see that you get one of those. But any questions? If we have time. Yes, ma'am. We would hope so. it's twofold, yes. Naturally, that's part of it. But when you do that, when you go through the training, and if you would sponsor or teach in that and host a Good News Club, you're doing two things. You're teaching a Good News Club and having a part of our program, but you're also opening up an outreach to reach the children, to bring them into your church. Now, this is our concern. Our major concern is that we reach children, but they're funneled into a good church. And so as doing a Good News Club, you have that double barrel there. You reach the children through the child evangelism program, but then you have the opportunity of getting them interested in your church and building it up. Okay? Did that answer your question? But really, with training, we would hope you would do this because it does those things. Well, this would be up to you. You don't have to sign up and start tomorrow, a Good News Club. If you can work it in, if you want to work it in, fine. You can also help you in your Sunday school. If you're involved in the Sunday school teaching program here, these things will help you there right now if you're involved that way. Yes. dynamite there. In fact, I have a church that this is their, they said, we'd like to become our teachers. And we will do this. Now, time involved in the seminar, we have several formats. At Thomas Road Baptist Church, we used five Saturday mornings, but it was 9:30 to noon, 9:30 to 12:30, the 5 weeks. Starting May 1st in East Mesa, and I was talking to Gary about this, in East Mesa we've changed that format. We're going to have 6:30 to 9 Friday night and 9 to 3 on Saturday. Just two weekends, two Fridays and two Saturdays, and we're going to cover the same material. We may talk a little faster to get it in, but we're going to try. There'll be about 12 to 14 subjects covered in the first half. Then we have a total of 26, but we do it in two phases. Phase one is more or less the evangelistic approach, the evangelistic lessons, counseling, things like this. The second part, phase two, is more of the discipleship type lessons. Teaching them to pray, things like this. That's how to do that in the second half, which we will come back and do. Thomas Road Baptist Church, we've already scheduled this fall, probably starting sometime in September. We'll be doing phase two down there. And that's open to anybody. We had about half the group was from that church and the other half were from other churches. We'll be coming back up this way with a super seminar up in this part of Phoenix, probably this fall sometime again, as well as that one with phase one. But right now, at East Mesa Baptist Church on Ellsworth, it's quite a ways out there, I realize. That's May 1st and 2nd, May 8th and 9th. And then in Gilbert, we're going to have the first two Saturdays only in June in Gilbert, the Baptist Church in Gilbert. So that's the time frame. So anywhere from five Saturdays to two weekends for the seminar. And whichever one you want to get in, we'll have one of those around somewhere. Okay, other questions? I say we are considered missionaries, and we are just like missionaries. The Child Evangelism Fellowship Program entirely is supported by donations, by mission projects to churches, individuals, things like this, and we do our own. We are not given a salary when we come into this position. We, through friends and contacts and those who want to help individuals and missionaries in the program, this is how our support is how we get it. By those who want to. And just to give you an idea, someone asked me one day, well, you get a salary paid by CEF. Yes, if I go out and find it. And if I don't, well, then that's it. That's the way all of our funding goes. All of the employees, so to speak, in Child Evangelism Fellowship around the world, that's the way it works. Okay? Any questions? Boy, I did a good job covering it, didn't I? Okay. Thank you, folks, very much. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, George, with a J. You had mentioned, and you corrected yourself, and you said that you do not desperately need prayer. We do.
Well, that's the word that we really need it, yes. But
yes.
Desperate.
Leave it alone.
Okay. I hear you.
Our custom, of course, is to share in the ministry of anyone who stands in this pulpit. And it is up to you to give. If you're not prepared to give, why, you can't give. You should know by this time, of course, if we have any guest speakers, we share in their ministries. With that, as the ushers come forward, for those of you that want to share in this ministry, we'll wait upon you for an offering. Our Father, we're grateful and thankful for what we've heard. We've been challenged. And now we give to share in this ministry in Christ's name. Amen. While the offering is being taken, I'll play a few numbers. And
17.
Yeah. You want me to play any more numbers? What do these have in common? They're multiples of nothing.